he's a dynamic player at that quarterback position, and those players often translate well to the wide receiver and or defensive back position on the college level. So Gary Peters is a big-time pickup for the Tigers. Also on Tuesday, Corey Gaines, a 5'10", 174-pound safety out of Grayson, gave BYU his commitment. On Wednesday, another Lowndes player fell off the board. Athlete Kari Franklin chose Troy. The 5'7", 165-pounder also holds offers from Georgia Tech and Arkansas State. Finally, on Saturday, we kind of mentioned this a little earlier, Westlake linebacker Michael Taylor gave the Tennessee Volunteers his commitment. The 6'1", 205-pound Taylor chose the Vols over LSU and Stanford. And to close out the week, Alex, Brookstone tight end Brian Vogler got a call from ESPN, received some exciting news when he was given an invite to the Under Armour All-American game, the 2010 version of it, which will be held at Disney's Wide World of Sports. Vogler becomes, amazingly, the 11th Georgian to make the team. So Georgia is, obviously, we know how much talent the state has. We know, but the country's also recognizing it, specifically ESPN. So congratulations to Brian Vogler. We do have to get to a quick commercial break. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and the official visit brought to you by Score Atlanta. Make sure to check out scoreatl.com for the best high school sports coverage. And now is your chance to sign up for the Georgia High School Football Daily email newsletter, which comes out every weekday morning and is filled with the best high school news around. This week we'll preview all 8 regions in Class 5A.
Absolutely. Definitely taking that to the next level.
There's only 2 former NFL players in Atlanta Sports Radio providing unique insight every day, and they play here. Ryan Stewart, weekdays 1 to 4. David Pollack, afternoons 4 to 7. Football lives here. 790 The Zone.
This is Brian McCann. The average Metro Atlantan commutes 39 miles every day. If we each carpool once a week, we would take millions of miles off our roads. Visit cleanaircampaign.org to learn more.
Hey guys, Mike Bell here for Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership. And now more than ever, if you're looking for the edge, Aaron's is there for you. The name you can trust for over 50 years with the best guaranteed lowest prices or the flexibility of leasing to own in 12, 18, or 24 months. They got the name brands. They got the quality. These are the guys you want to do business with. Do the math. Nobody beats Aaron's now more than ever. Hey, you want a TV? Because football season is here, brother. And you don't want just any TV. How about a 52-inch LCD flat panel from Sharp? Just $129.99 a month on a 24-month lease, or get it at the guaranteed lowest price under $2,000 right now from Aaron's. Not just TVs, they got bedroom sets, living room furniture. Matter of fact, how about the great looking Euro leather 7-piece living room set? Only $119.99 a month. And with the kids going back to high school and or college, how about some laptops? They've got all the name brands you know, like Dell. Check it out at Aaron's. Go to shopaarons.com to find out where the store is near you and find the lease plan that makes the most sense so you can free up your cash for all the other bills you got to deal with. Remember, now more than ever, nobody beats the Aaron's price. Nobody. For TVs, for football season, and a whole lot more, make sure you stop at Aaron's.
It's time to play.
Football always lives here.
Play clock at 1. Kurt got the play away. Back to throw. Warner with ton of time. Throwing right side. Fitz open. Caught at the 5. Heading for the pylon. And he is going to be ruled. Cardinals! Larry Fitzgerald! Do you believe it?
First for football. 790 The Zone.
We are back and better than ever on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. In September, the official visit will move to Monday nights from 7 to 9 on 790 The Zone. And the Score Atlanta Falcons Sunday will air from 1 to 4 p.m. So those are exciting shows. Of course, we are the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which makes us the very best in the business. And with that said, we have one of the best in the business at the linebacker position in the state of Georgia joining us. Michael Taylor is on the line. Michael Taylor, how's it going today?
It's going fine.
So listen, Mike, I know, and I'm sure a lot of Atlanta by now has heard that you made a very big decision last night committing to the Tennessee Volunteers. Talk about how excited you are to have that decision out of the way and what it was about Tennessee that really sold you.
You know, I'm very excited about being a volunteer now. You know, I went and watched practice yesterday. You know, I see, you know, where I could fit in. You know, I love the coaches. Coaching staff is excellent. I mean, I know they took a lot of criticism. A lot of people have bashed them. But, I mean, if you took the visit I took yesterday, you'd love them just as well.
Hey, we love Lane Kiffin over here.
The facilities at Tennessee are just amazing. I mean, they're upgrading and everything, and that's what you want. You know, you want a program that's expanding. And another thing is my mom can come and see me play. My mom, which is who's the most important person, you know, in my life and has impacted my life so much, you know, that she can come see me play and she can just hop on the freeway anytime. That was just another big thing for me.
Michael, Alex Ewald here. You talk about your relationship with the coaches, the facilities, but specifically with the coaches, what do you like about Lane Kiffin? This is a guy that's done a great job really quickly in getting some high-level prospects like yourself. So what do you like about Coach Kiffin?
From what I've seen yesterday, he's an offensive genius. You know, he was, I mean, his protections and everything and his routes, the way he was coaching up the team, it was just great. You know, and, you know, I know he's taken a lot of, you know, criticism for what he's done, but he's done nothing but brought the Tennessee program a lot of attention, you know, and attention that's going to be well needed, you know, to get his players to the next level. And, you know, I don't know what people are seeing in Coach Kiffin, but I know I see a whole different thing. And, you know, even his dad, Monty Kiffin, you know, he's a trooper too. I know he was trying to climb a fence yesterday, and it was funny. And, I mean, just the whole staff, Coach Thompson, which is going to be my coach I'm going to be closest with, you know, the whole coaching staff is great.
Yeah, we're talking to Westlake linebacker Michael Taylor. Michael, let's get to the defensive side of the ball because that's where you're going to be playing. You mentioned Coach Thompson. Does that mean you're going to be a linebacker at Tennessee?
Yes, I will be a linebacker at Tennessee. You know, that's going to be a great opportunity for me. You know, I know they chant Eric Berry when he comes out now, you know, but hopefully after he graduates, there'll be another defensive star who they're chanting, and Michael Taylor.
There you go. Hey, talk a little about Monty Kiffin. Of course, he's got a ton of respect for the things he did on the NFL level. Do you think his defense will translate to the college level? And how excited are you to play for such a legend?
That's a great opportunity. I mean, me talking to him is a great opportunity, and he's going to be a great coach. You know, and that's going to be great for me because I'm used to great coaches now. All my coaches that I have now are great, and especially my head coach, Coach Menace. I'd just like to give him a big shout-out because none of this would be possible without him. But back to Coach Kiffin. Coach Kiffin was great. I mean, I'm gonna enjoy playing for him and his schemes and his everything about him. He's just a defensive mastermind, and I'm gonna love that.
Now, Michael, we've talked about Tennessee a lot here. What about the schools that you passed up on, notably Stanford and LSU? What pushed Tennessee ahead of them? What did you like about those schools, and what did the decision really come down to?
Decision came down to what would be best for me. It wasn't about anybody, you know, influencing me. It was about what would be best for me, my family, and me as my future as football. You know, when I moved to Georgia, I had a lot of goals that I wanted to set, and pretty much I've accomplished a majority of them, and, you know, that was just me staying focused and on track. I'm just going to love Tennessee. I know that, and it's going to be a great opportunity for me. All those schools that I did pass up on, nothing against them, but Tennessee was just the best program for me. And I'd like to thank all those other schools that gave me a chance, that offered me, that even looked at me. And this was a great opportunity, and I'd like to thank all of them.
Yeah, now, Michael, you were just talking about goals. Talk a little about the goals you have going into Tennessee. Of course, you'll probably be there for 4 years. What do you want to accomplish over that time span?
You know, when I get there, they were talking about, you know, I'm going to try to graduate early. They were saying, you know, it would be a great opportunity for me to come in and play as a freshman. So if I get that opportunity, I want to try to make a freshman All-American team. You know, I want to try to make All-SEC team. You know, I want to try to be an All-American. I got a lot of goals I want to accomplish at Tennessee as well as, you know, during my last year in high school. I just want to be, you know, the player that, you know, a lot of people look at and say, dang, he was a great player. And I think I can accomplish that at Tennessee, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Michael, anyone who followed your recruitment closely knows that in the beginning you were one of those guys who really wanted to let the process play out, take your time. Of course, a lot of early commitments forced you to make your decision earlier than probably you wanted to. Now that you have your spot sewn up at Tennessee, are you done looking around, or will you maybe use the season to go on a couple more official visits?
I'm sold with Tennessee. You know, it's a great place for me to be. It's a great program. It's a great fit for me. You know, just to think, not too long ago, things weren't so easy, you know, and now I've got a home, I've got a, you know, I've got a spot for me, you know, where I can go and everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be paid for, everything, you know, and it's just a blessing, it's a great opportunity, and I'm not going to waste it.
Michael, coming out of the Westlake program, this is a program that's renowned for putting players in college and in the NFL. I think in the last couple of years, at one time, there were, I think now, the four or five NFL players from Westlake. What kind of mindset does that put you in as a high school player? What, you know, looking up at all these guys, what does that make you think that you can do?
It makes me think I could just, you know, reach, I could go as far as I take myself. Going to the NFL, that's a big goal. That's my ultimate goal, go to the NFL, buy my mom a big house, you know, get a good car, everything, you know, live the life. And that's the ultimate goal, you know, and that's what I want for myself. That's my ultimate goal out of life. And, you know, if I fall short of that, you know, I always have that degree to fall back on. I'm going to try to get a master's while I'm there. You know, I just have a lot of things that's planned for myself, but you know, NFL, that's my ultimate goal, and I know I'm at the right school to do it, and I know I'm going to the right school to do it.
Yeah, we're finishing up with Westlake linebacker Michael Taylor. Michael, one last question. Tell Tennessee Volunteer fans out there what type of player they're getting.
Oh, they'll see that every Saturday. You know, I'm gonna let them find out for themselves when I get there, you know, and it's just going to be a great 4 to 5 years for me. Tennessee fans are going to be very happy, and go Vols.
Listen, hey, Mike, we appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Have a good Sunday.
You too.
Again, that was Westlake linebacker Michael Taylor. Just a really great player. I mean, I think anyone who got his services would really be happy because he didn't want to talk about it, but great speed, just a tenacious football player. And you heard, if you were listening to the interview, a really smart kid who is committed to kind of making himself into the best football player possible.
Sounds like a man on a mission to me. I mean, yeah. He sounds determined. I mean, he just sounds like a hardworking kid that wants to be the best.
Yeah, let me ask you this, though. I happen to be a little skeptical in that Monty Kiffin defense. I do, just because it's a complex defense that he was running for years with professional athletes, and he's got less than a year to install that and now start running it with freshmen, sophomores, juniors, in college. And my question for you, Alex, is do you think he can have success with that defense on the college level?
You're really coming from the NFL. He's going to have to not dumb it down. Well, dumb it down a little bit for these kids that, you know, coming out of high school, haven't had the college coaching that his NFL players have had. I mean, it's really going to be a transition for him. We'll have to see how he deals with it.
Yeah, let's take our first caller of the day, Dave from Gwinnett. Dave, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
How's it going, Dave? What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to know, are there any Division 1A recruits coming out of South Gwinnett or North Gwinnett High School? And there's a big game, the first game between South Gwinnett and Norcross. And I thought they had two players, I think, went to USC last year.
From last year's class?
Norcross.
Well, was it Bryce Butler?
Right, yes. and DJ Adams, or not for for USC.
Yes.
Bryce Butler, the receiver, went to USC.
Bryce Butler 2 years ago, from Norcross.
Of course, that's the same class as Devontae Bolton, who went to Alabama.
Okay.
So was that your question?
My question was, are there any Division I recruits coming out of the 2009 season? Well, South Gwinnett or North Gwinnett.
Well, they definitely Division One recruits. You got a Jonathan Krause, wide receiver, who I believe is committed to Vanderbilt for South Gwinnett. A real speedy kid, good on returns as well. And North Gwinnett, Jawan James, the offensive lineman, the senior there. He's a Alabama commit as well. So those are two guys from those two schools that are
linemen committed to Alabama.
Yes, Austin Shepherd as well, of course.
So
I
two
forgot
guys.
About him.
Appreciate your call, Dave.
But that's the only one from South Gwinnett is Jonathan Cross?
Yeah, the Division I level, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Back to what we were saying, you know, I think Monty Kiffin's defense will work. I think it's going to take a year or two. And the question is, how long is Monty Kiffin going to be there?
Well, I think
time is not on good old Monty's side.
I think that's the question. You might see a 1 or 2 year holdover before someone else comes in. And of course, that coaching staff, they've not been shy about pumping money into that coaching staff, as we've touched on. So yeah, that'll be one thing to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. We got to get to a quick commercial break. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and Score Atlanta's official visit. Score Atlanta and 790 The Zone will team up again to broadcast a high school football game every Friday night. Look for the schedule at scoreatl.com.
Pollock and Bell.
Hope you have a great weekend. Big week for us on Pollock and Bell. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Georgia fans. We're going to have Rennie Curran stopping by. Mike Peterson from your Atlanta Falcons. And Michael the Burner Turner. Pollock and Bell. If you'll listen to us, you're dead to me.
Afternoons from 4 to 7 on 790 The Zone.
Got trivia? I'm talking about Chris Domino meets Perez Hilton meets Wikipedia knowledge. Each and every Tuesday, Stats will be hosting a trivia night for all you sports and pop culture trivia buffs out there. Come out to Stats at Stats Tuesdays from 7 to 9 and compete for great weekly prizes and enjoy $3 Miller and Miller Chill. Stats is the perfect place to enjoy a great meal and cold beer with friends while proving your trivia prowess. Stats at Stats is presented by 790 The Zone and Miller Chill.
You're listening to Conversations for a Smarter Planet. This is the IBM Midsize Business Report. While energy costs in server rooms continue to rise, up to 30% of servers in some organizations aren't utilized at all. They simply waste energy and money. So how can a midsize business learn to do more with less? For some perspective, we talked with Rich Sedzik, Bryant University's Director of Computing and Telecommunications Services.
Students today grew up with the internet and mobile technologies. Their need for computing power is constantly growing, but we just can't afford to keep adding servers. IBM and their business partner APC helped us monitor our energy consumption and manage our workloads. Using virtualization, we reduced the servers we needed from 75 down to 40, cutting our cooling costs in half.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet. For more IBM success stories, go to ibm.com/engines/university. Let's build a smarter planet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fictional president of the United States.
People of Atlanta, the bailout to the Bo stimulus package just got sweeter when booking it where AtlantaPlays.com and using the offer code Atlanta. You can stay at the Bo Rivage for as low as $89 per night.
Mr. President, tell us exactly why Atlantans should head to Bo Rivage this summer.
Allow me. You see, sugar, the Bo Rivage is the bomb. It's an MGM Four Diamond Resort on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You can fly there in 1 hour or drive there in 5 hours, maybe in a limo. It's a hookup, baby. I'm telling you, bachelorette parties galore, hotties by the pool. Bob Dole could get action there. It's great.
In closing, the bailout to the boat package is a limited time offer. So Atlanta, act now. Thank you.
The bailout to the boat double occupancy package includes two nights hotel, two buffets, two Miller Lights, and two Bacardi cocktails for as low as $119 plus tax per person through August 8th and just $89 plus tax per person August 9th through August 31st. Book now by visiting whereatlantaplays.com and enter offer code Atlanta.
Mayhem in the AM.
You don't want to miss this week's Mayhem in the AM. You know where you got Chipper Jones talking Braves, Tony Barnhart talking college football, Lenny Pasquale talking NFL. It's your morning show. 6 to 11. Don't miss Mayhem this week.
Morning 6 to 11 only on 790 The Zone
and 790thezone.com.
We are back and better than ever on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. Score Atlanta and Georgia Public Broadcasting will be webcasting a high school football game every Friday night. Look for the schedule at scoreatl.com. Of course, I am Scott, the Brain Janovitz, joined by Alex, the A-Train Ewald. We are the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which makes us, as I always like to say, the very best in the business. We are joined, though, right now by a very special guest in Centennial head coach, Jeff Meiser. Jeff, are you there, and how has your Sunday been going thus far?
Oh, everything's going fine. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We're doing good. Better now that you're here visiting us on the official visit. So let's jump right into things, Jeff. Centennial isn't always known or isn't really known as a dominant football team in the state, yet you guys have three of the top recruits. What exactly do you attribute that type of development to?
Well, for one of our kids, it's genetics, and for the other two kids, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of getting them out there and getting them some exposure and making a bunch of phone calls, and the kids that those two kids have bought in and have really improved themselves in the last 3 years. I mean, they're both 10th graders. Ben and Martin were both 10th graders when we started, and to be honest with you, even last year, I didn't think either one of them had a great chance to be a Division I player, but they worked and worked and worked, and they put themselves into a position where that's going to be a possibility or a reality.
of course, coaches talking about Ben Carpenter and Martin Jenkins, who recently committed to the Clemson University. Coach, anyone who follows recruiting closely knows that the recruitment process has moved up tremendously when you consider just how early in the year kids are starting to give their verbal commitments to schools. What do you think of that, of, you know, that process and that, you know, the fact that it is become such an earlier process?
Well, it's good and bad. It's good that the kids have peace of mind going into their senior year and they can concentrate on playing ball, because a lot of kids, you know, that I've been around in the past have you know, they forget they still have a senior year to play. They're still playing for the school that got them the opportunity to play D1 ball, and a lot of them, quite frankly, forget about that, and they forget about their teammates and the kids that are on the team that aren't going to play anymore, and they get the big head. So in that respect, it's good because they can get all that stuff out of the way and go on with it. The problem with it is the NCAA hasn't allowed this early signing period like they have with the other classes. It would be good if they had something at the end of the summer where these guys that are committed and they're ready to go ahead and let them sign and let them be completely finished with it. And because the recruiting process still goes on for these guys, even though they commit. I mean, I still get calls from other colleges about Dave and about Martin that are still trying to recruit them. So if the NCAA would just let them go ahead and sign, and then all that stuff would be over with.
So you are in favor of an early signing period. When exactly do you think that should be, that deadline should be?
I think it should be right before the fall practice starts. I mean, let them, you know, they go around all the summer stuff before their senior year. They go around to all these schools, and they're not. I think they should go ahead and let them take official visits in the summer, and go ahead and let them sign. Right? Sometime right before fall camp starts.
All right, Coach, your biggest recruit, David Yankee. Just talk a little bit about what he brings to the table.
Oh, well, David. You know, when I started here, I took the job January of David's freshman year, and he was about 185 pounds. He was tall. He was already 6'3 or 6'4. And I saw him do a squat or a clean and jerk in the weight room, and he was down to the floor, and his hips were unbelievable. And I saw him jump rope, and his feet were just, you know, he was impressive. He played his whole sophomore year at about 195 pounds. Last year he was about 240. Now he's up to about 290. And you don't know it by looking at him. And he's still tall and lean and got big, long arms. And just having a kid like that, you know, when I first saw him, I knew that if he could put the weight on, he would be special just because of how important hips and feet are to that, to the offensive line position. And just having a kid like that, you know, he's a centennial kid. The best part about all three of our kids is they're centennial kids. They aren't transfers. They aren't move-ins. They aren't, you know, people that we went out in the metro Atlanta and recruited them and brought them into our school their sophomore or junior year to make us win, you know, that kind of thing. They're centennial kids. They played in the junior night program. You know, they're ours. So that's something that we're the most proud of. But with David, it's just to have a kid that's that physically imposing. He's quite an impressive player. And the best thing about David is his drive and his work ethic and he's nasty, but he's the nicest kid off the field. He has all the intangibles to really be a special player, not only in college, but, you know, possibly at the level past that. If you know, I know that everybody likes the Juwan James kid and the kids from Buford, and rightfully so. They're excellent players, and they're in bigger programs, certainly. But if I had to put my money on the best offensive tackle or offensive lineman in Georgia, it would no doubt be David.
Yeah, Coach, you sort of alluded to this earlier, and that is just how far Martin Jenkins has come. Of course, in his freshman and sophomore year, the kid really wasn't a top, you know, Division I talent. And for anyone who doesn't know, he just committed to Clemson. Talk a little about how far he's come, the work he's put in, and also what he's going to mean to that program, the Clemson Tigers.
Well, I wasn't here his freshman year. I started here in the spring of his freshman year, I guess, so. He was a running back his 10th grade year on our JV team. And, you know, he was a quick little kid, but he was about 150 pounds and real quiet. You know, never didn't really do much other than, you know, be fast. And, you know, he went along and we had a loss after our first year at cornerbacks. And we moved him over to corner, obviously, because, you know, he's a short guy that with good feet and good speed. So we figured he could cover people. And last year, his junior year, was the first, you know, his first junior game was the first time he'd ever started a varsity game. So we didn't really know what we had, and we let him get his feet wet the first four, five, six games, and he became a, you know, pretty much a shutdown corner. And then as the season went along, we started giving him the ball, and you know, he showed how tough he was on speed sweeps and throwing it to him, and and doing different things. And he just really committed himself to the weight room, and he's about 170 pounds, but he's benching, you know, he's benching about 270, maybe 265, something like that. And he squats a fair amount, and he's a real strong, put together kid, and he can fly. I mean, I've been doing this high school for 10 years, and I coached in Florida for a couple of years, and he's one of the fastest kids I've ever seen. He when he runs top speed, he's special. I mean, it's something you don't see very often. He reminds me of when I was in Florida, of a guy named Quezzy Green, who's a short, real fast kid that played in the NFL for a little while. That's kind of who he reminds me of. It's a short guy that can just fly.
Now, Coach, looking at football on the north side, you know, I guess Gwinnett notwithstanding, because they've always had powerhouse programs, but I've seen a lot of improvement in this among the Cobb schools, among the North Fulton schools. They're becoming more of a destination for college recruiters and churning out a lot of prospects. What do you think the difference has been in that sort of area of football in the state?
I think that it turned when Roswell won the state championship a couple years ago. I know it certainly got the people at Centennial more fired up. I mean, I can't speak for anybody but our school, but, you know, Centennial, when I took it over a few years ago, it was pretty much taking over a new school. I mean, it hadn't won much. They really hadn't done anything in terms of making football important. There was no facilities to speak of. There was no difference between, you know, the football team and the chess team at the school. It was just like, you know, whatever. It's just something that if kids happen to do it, they do it. There's no importance to it. And when Roswell did so well, it kind of fired up the people around here. Now we're about to open up our brand new weight facility with offices, and the parents and the administration have really started to push it. And especially for Centennial, we're such a diverse North Fulton school. A lot of the schools up here don't have the diversity we have, combined with the quality of education that this school has. So we've really got a chance in the next few years if we can harness things and have a couple breaks go our way to really make a name for ourselves. I believe in the state. You know, certainly to be a powerhouse on the state level, you're still going to have to go against the teams that have 1,000 more students than you do, and that's difficult at some point to overcome. But certainly in our area, the ball is exceptionally good. Coaching up here is a lot better than it was several years ago with, you know, Coach Walker at Milton and Coach Crowder at Chattahoochee and you know, the new coach at Northview. And then there's a lot of good coaches up in North Fulton area, especially in East Cobb also, if you're going to throw the two areas together. So it's a matter of, I think, around here, it's a lot more important than it was a few years ago. And it's exciting because it's a great way for the kids to get exposure. And, you know, we have such an interesting, diverse team. We have lots of kids that have a chance to play at some level of college ball, but they're smart enough and they don't really need to. So they go ahead and they go to Georgia, they go to Tennessee as students. And then we have the kids that have to have college ball to get to college. And it's a kind of a good mix of both. I mean, we had, I was just talking to one of our parents last night, and one of the private schools, a couple of their better players that just graduated live right around the corner from our school. And they went to the private school because we had nothing as far as Centennial. We had no real structure or facility or organization to be successful at football. And both those parents' players told this man that I was speaking with that they would have never gone to private school if Centennial would have had what we have now. So it's good. I think our school is on the upswing. I think I think football up here, like I said, has become more important, and it's good to see.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time to come out with us today, and wish you the best of luck this season.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Of course, that was Centennial head coach Jeff Meeser. We do have to get to a quick commercial break. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 in the Zone and Score Atlanta's official visit. Score Atlanta will be webcasting an on-demand, on-demand basis, the Corky Kell Classic from the Georgia Dome on August 22nd. The four big matchups will be broadcast live on 790 the Zone and will be available on the net that Sunday at ghsa.tv. Again, you are listening to Score Atlanta's official visit.
Through the years, baseball in America has been rocked by scandals. From the Black Sox of 1919 and Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Steroids is the drug problem in America.
You test positive, you're going to be out. Banging for the whole year.
As the steroid argument drags on, we guarantee you that none of our hosts use performance-enhancing drugs. Although on second thought, if you've listened, maybe they should. Roid-free, 790 the Zone.
Judas Priest with Whitesnake live at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater at Encore Park Thursday, August 20th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com or 800-745-3000. Presented by Bud Light.
Vault presents the epic tale of a man with a thirst for greatness and the only soda powerful enough to quench it. Tell us your story, Rory.
Well, it's mid-August, and I'm hauling a few tons of cabbage across the panhandle before it all turns to sauerkraut. I cross into Arizona, and the AC gives out. So I popped open a vault and drank it down. Long and the short, cabbage saved, and old Rory's kicking it on cruise control clear across the Oklahoma state line.
You grabbed a vault because you needed a real man's soda. You needed a thirst quencher that gave you more.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice work, Rory. Vault, the world's hardest working soda.
Welcome to Vault Country, where we separate the men from the boys. Show your thirst who's boss with Vault, the citrus soda with the kick. Head out to participating retailers and pick up some refreshing Vault at a great price. Vault has all the quench you need with the extra kick to satisfy your inner man. For those who get it done and then some.
You've heard it before. Go, there's nothing stopping you. And AirTran Airways means it, especially when you're sitting back and relaxing, much the way you can in the great AirTran Airways brand new jumbo jet. And enjoy all of the away team interviews that are rich and personal right here on AirTran Airways Hardball, heard on 790 The Zone. My name is Chris Domino, and here's what's going to happen all season long. I'll be sitting down with some of the biggest stars in baseball as they fly into Atlanta and play our hometown team. It's a real treat when you get a chance to potentially be talking with a Hall of Famer or an icon of America's pastime. And AirTran Airways flyaways over the course of the season will be included. Your chance to fly away to see the hometown baseball team play on top of that. Don't forget, away team interviews courtesy of our friends at AirTran Airways all season long here on 790 The Zone at 790thezone.com. You know what I say, go, there's nothing stopping you. And with AirTran Airways, boy, do they prove it every day. More flights than anybody else, more on-time flights than anybody else in a brand new fleet. That's AirTran Airways. They're doing it bigger and better than everybody else, and you can actually sit back, relax, enjoy both AirTran Airways and AirTran Airways flyaway team interviews. Views. Rich and personal, just the way AirTran Airways treats you.
Between the morning antics of mayhem in the AM.
You're out of line.
You know the line?
You know the line.
And the craziness of the two live stews.
Damn, boy, you're about as big as a mountain. Look like you might have played some football.
It's the one, the only. Brandon and Wolvie.
Okay.
Weekdays 11 to 1.
And there they go!
Only on 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back on a beautiful day in Atlanta on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Of course, you are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. Every Friday night, Score Atlanta will have the only real-time high school scoreboard for every game in the state. This year, the scoreboard will be available at AJC.com. And guess what, guys? A segment we usually hold to the end because we know our listeners just can't wait every week for Big B's Top 10. We're going to do right now. We got Big B in the studio. Of course, this week we are going to release Big B's. We're going to release Big B, but we're also going to release Big B's Top 10 defensive prospects in the state. Without further ado, Brian Jones, the floor is yours.
All right. At number 10, we got Jonathan Mincy, who's a cornerback out of Southwest Acab. I had him number 2 on the top 10 cornerback list. He's, again, 5'10", 164. And I mentioned he was one of the top corners in the region. He has great speed and great awareness, and he has committed to Auburn.
Yeah, and I never let this chance go by just to say, you know, when Auburn's recruiting you at the cornerback position and or at the linebacker position, you're pretty good. Because not only are they, and you know, this may change because they have a new coaching staff, but when Tommy Tuberville was there, not only were they the best literally in the entire country at scouting cornerbacks and linebackers, but they were the best in the entire country at developing them. Well, whether that'll remain, I think it will because, of course, they have the same defensive coordinator as now their head coach, who was there for much of the time. So,
yep. And coming in at number 9 out of Walden High School, we got Brandon Burroughs, who's a defensive end. At 6'3", 235, I think I had him at number 4 or 3 on my top 10 defensive lineman list. And, again, he's a great pass rusher, has great speed. He's not going to play this year because due to an injury, but he
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say he's just recently committed to Georgia.
Yeah, he came on our show. He's actually, Brandon's been on our show twice and has assured us that his knee will be healthy and ready to go come practice. But you're probably right, Brian. He will almost certainly take a redshirt year just because – he needs to gain some weight and you know, just develop overall. Of course, that is a position, though, that freshmen will have the chance to play at Georgia because they are about as thin as they possibly can get there.
Absolutely.
Number eight.
We got Isaiah Johnson out of Sandy Creek, who's a safety, 6'2", 180. I had a number two on my top 10 safety list. He's athletic. He's good in run support, but even better in pass coverage. And he's one of the guys on this list that's committed to Georgia Tech.
Hey, Jacket Boy, that's Alex Ewald. Tell me, is he not the second best safety in the state behind Alec Ogletree?
You could put him there, definitely. He's part of a really good in-state defensive back class that Tech has put together here. I talk about Fred Holton from Thomasville as well, another safety on that list. You could put him at two.
They have my favorite corner there in the state by
Barry
far.
Bostic Barry Bostic or B.J. Bostic, of course. Yeah. And that's a class that the Tech staff, I'm sure, is hoping will be one of the top units in at least the conference in a couple years.
Oh, it'll be – well, and I think it's – if you just break down position by position recruiting rankings, Tech – we forgot to mention Ryan Ayers out of South – that could be the best defensive back class
– Well, he's coming up.
Outside of Gainesville in the country. Number seven. Seven.
And someone who just had recently on the show, Michael Taylor out of Westlake. I had him he stands at 6 feet, 200 pounds. I had him number one on the number two on the linebacker list. I had Naron Ball number one, but Taylor plays with a lot of intensity, and he's one of the hardest hitters in the region, and he just talked about being committed to Tennessee.
Number six,
Ryan Ayers, who we just mentioned, out of South Paulding, 5'10", 178. I had him at the top 10, or number one at the top cornerbacks in the state. He's, again, as we mentioned, athletic, fast, has great anticipation, and we also mentioned that he's committed to Georgia Tech. And at number five, we got Neuron Ball out of Jackson, 6'4", 210. I had him number one on my top 10 linebacker list. And he's a guy that lines up mostly at defensive end, but because of his quickness and size, and he could play outside linebacker in college, and that's why Florida is a school of choice.
Yeah, we actually talked about Neuron Ball a lot last week. He, of course, chose Florida, earned his scholarship. Of course, he had a scholarship for a while, but it's never committable, or you never know when it's committable with Urban Meyer and the University of Florida. It became committable, though, with his impressive performance at Friday Night Lights 3 weeks ago. He ran two 4.48 40s, showed just incredible footwork in linebacker drills. Where he'll play, he'll almost certainly line up at defensive end. Problem with him, and you may know this, Brian, because you are a big-time Georgia Bulldog fan, his brother who plays there has had significant issues gaining weight. And the question with Neuron is, he's tall, he's athletic, but can he put on the weight necessary to play defensive end in the SEC? And, of course, that that is yet to be determined. But that is definitely an issue there, and it's something for anyone, Florida fan or not, to watch out for.
Absolutely. Coming in at number four, we got Jalen Fields out of Dalton, 6'5", 250. There are very few players that can get the quarterback better than Fields, and he was one of the first guys, since we've been doing the show, that's committed to Georgia, actually. And at number three, we got T.J. Stripling out of Southwest DeKalb, 6'6", 210. I had a number two on my top 10 defensive lineman list, and he uses his size to fight off blockers and has great lateral range in the backfield. He actually got 15 sacks last season, and that's why Georgia picked him up.
Stripling's a great prospect. Rivals released their top 50 a week ago, and he came in at number two on the list. I was a little critical of that ranking simply because he is such an upside prospect. In other words, I'm not sure he's ready to contribute tomorrow, but if you're talking about potential, Stripling is at the top of the list for just about any school in the country, and yet another huge pickup at the defensive end position for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, and that's something that they needed to do. And another pickup for Georgia is Garrison Smith, who comes in at number two on this list at a Douglas High School. I had a number one on my defensive lineman list, and he stands at 6'3", 255. Smith has all the tools to be a great college-level defensive tackle. He's quick. He does a great job staying in his gap on the backside. He had 14 sacks last year, and he can also play defensive end because of his speed. And as I mentioned, he has committed to Georgia. And at number one, of course, no surprise here, Alec Ogletree out of Noonan. Had him number one on my safety list, 6'3", 214. He's considered the best safety in the country, probably one of the best prospects in the country. He is the best prospect in Georgia. And he's good in zone. He has linebacker size, has great speed, and he's also committed to Georgia.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting about Alec Ogletree is a lot of people speculate whether or not he will play safety at the college level. Of course, Brian, you just alluded to it. He has linebacker size. He's an absolute monster. Certainly, if he could play linebacker at the college level, he would have tremendous speed for that position. I personally see him at, you know, in that Sean Taylor mold. I hate to compare anyone to Sean Taylor because he's probably the best college safety we've seen in years, including Taylor Mays and Eric Berry. But I think Alec Ogletree is a star in the making at safety. Where do you see him, Alex?
Well, I think as far as the state's top defenders, as far as a physical specimen, Ogletree is just unbelievable. I mean, Garrison Smith here coming in at number two, you know, he's certainly, I think those are two guys that are pretty close together as far as college prospects.
To me, those
almost interchangeable.
You throw Mack Brown in those three, and those are your three best recruits in the state. And I'll tell you why.
And far and away, I think. Well, I think a little separation between those three guys and the others.
And the thing about those three is, to me, Garrison Smith, Alec Ogletree, Mack Brown is can't miss. There's never a can't miss prospect. Recruiting is always somewhat of a crapshoot. The better you are at scouting, the better chances you have of getting the talent you want. But there's always that chance you're going to miss on someone. To me, in this state, in 2009, the 2010 class, those are the three guys who are sure bets, if there are any.
I think at the running back position, you know, as far as a sure bet, Mack Brown will be a good, good college player.
Oh, and in that offense?
You put the ball in his hand and let him do what he's been doing all in high school, you know, running downhill, good speed, just a monster.
And when you consider that Florida is their whole goal is to spread the field and create space for their skilled players, and you consider that, A, that's where he's going to excel, and B, that he's going to have a ton of other talent surrounding him, so as to prevent other teams from keying in on him, is there any way he doesn't succeed at Florida?
No. He's an all-conference player if everything goes right.
Listen, great list, Brian. We have our best friend on the line, though, who's been waiting patiently for some time, our good friend from Aqua Blue, GM, Brian Longacre. Brian, sorry to make you wait. You there?
Yeah, I am. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing good. Better now that you're with us, though, as always.
Well, I tell you, I'm a little bit sad that summer's coming to an end, but, man, I love the football talk already. I can't wait for the season to start.
Of course, college football. And then tonight, Brian, if you're not aware already, is the start of the NFL season. The preseason game between Buffalo and Tennessee will be on tonight. So I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. That's in my hometown of Akron, Canton, Ohio. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that game as well.
There you go. So we know you guys have a lot of exciting events coming up in August. For one, a cooking demonstration, if I'm not wrong, on August 15th. You tell us a little about that and more?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going back to the Riverside Farmers Market in Roswell, and we're doing a cooking demonstration on the 15th. And the Farmers Market is a great opportunity for us because we get out in the community, we get to show what we can do. And the Farmers Market is a very unique venue. They have different vendors coming in, and they provide local produce. They have bakers, people that make their own salsa, grow their own peppers, all their fresh produce and everything else. So we've actually got to meet a few folks there and put some of their items onto our menu, which has been a great addition to a summer menu. So we're really looking forward to that. It's from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. At the Riverside Farmers Market there in Roswell. So looking forward to that. And we're in our second week of our Taste of Asia menu that's been going over very well. We had a packed house last night. Had a great day yesterday. Fed about almost 300 people yesterday, so things are going well.
Now, Brian, you mentioned the summer's almost over. We're moving into fall, but you guys have some good weekly events that happen every Thursday and Friday that people can come out and enjoy. Why don't you talk about those?
Yeah, Thursdays are our big people watch night. It's a nice singles night out. We do some complimentary hors d'oeuvres from 5:30 to 7:30. And then our dance band, the American Flyer, started at 8 o'clock. We'll have anywhere from 200 to 300 people in our bar. Just a great, great venue. A lot of people watching, a lot of good times. And then actually Wednesday is our girls' night out. And everything on the menu is $5. So when the girls come in, they can get a martini, get a glass of wine, five different appetizers, all for $5, and we have live entertainment on Wednesdays as well now.
Right, and of course, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but you have live music on Fridays as well, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have live entertainment. We've got anywhere from blues to Motown to a little bit of jazz to a little bit of rock. We kind of vary it up on Friday, and that starts at 8 o'clock and runs until 11.
Yeah,
and we have drink specials all night.
Yeah, something for everyone. You can reach Brian or another Aqua Blue representative by calling 770-643-8886. Brian, tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, we're at 1564 Holcomb Bridge Road off of exit 7 on 400. Give us a call at 770-643-8886, or you can go to the web, aquablueatl.com. All of our specials are on there, all of our features, and our menu is on there as well.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Brian. Enjoy the football tonight. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. You too, gentlemen. Take care.
Talk to you next Sunday.
Thank you, Brian.
Of course, that was Brian Longacre, the general manager of Aqua Blue. We do have to get to another commercial break. When we get back, the top recruiting analyst over at ESPN, J.C. Sherbert, will be with us. You are listening to Sports Radio 79 The Zone and Score Atlanta's official visit. Score Atlanta is the ATL's only Football Plus sports paper and is available at all Metro, Quick Trips, Kroger's, and Blockbuster.
Mayhem in the AM.
Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith.
Said at the autograph signing one day, two little boys came up to the table and I signed their autograph and their mom says, oh, why don't you do it for them? A little kid comes up with that and he says, Smith corks one in down the line. It could go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. The Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizards.
Morning 6-11 only on 790 The Zone
and 790thezone.com.
Listen live on 790thezone.com 24/7 so you never miss a minute. Powered by Peachtree Service Experts, Atlanta's trusted heating and air conditioning company, with service available 24/7.
I was so busy today, I actually spoke in text language. OMG.
I was so busy today, I ate a frozen entree. Frozen.
Oh yeah, I was so busy today, I was forced to devise a way to download email directly into my brain.
Yes, we know you're busy. That's why we're reminding you to put Domino's Pizza and Coca-Cola on your calendar for dinner tonight. When Domino's Pizza and Ice Cold Coke are on the table, the family will gather. It's the perfect combo of convenience and deliciousness.
I was so busy today, I held 3 impromptu meetings in the elevator.
I held 3 impromptu meetings in the elevator while collating an annual report.
It's easy to make dinner time great for the family. Visit Domino's.com. Coke and Domino's are the perfect complement, and you'll have one less thing on your plate, so to speak.
For a limited time, get a large Domino's pizza with any 3 toppings for just $9.99 and a free 2-liter of Coke. It's the Coke Summer Family Meal Deal. Order online or call your local Domino's. You must ask for this limited offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Highline Golf Carts of Atlanta is your one-stop shop for all your golf cart needs. At Highline Golf Carts, they're known throughout Atlanta for their quality sales and service. They offer an amazing selection of new, used, and refurbished golf carts. Just in need of maintenance? Not a problem. They can take care of that, too. At Highline Golf Carts, they offer a wide range of parts and accessories. Come stop by their store in Buford, Georgia, located at 5825B Holiday Road, or their Duluth store located at 2820 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard. For directions or more info, call 770-614-0053. Are you hosting an upcoming special event? If you're planning a wedding, anniversary, picnic, company outing, or any event that requires moving people, then contact them about renting a golf cart. They rent for all occasions. Call Highline Golf Carts today, 770-614-0053. That's 770-614-0053.
Tough, hard-hitting, and all business.
Thomas Dimitroff on Roddy White.
He's under contract. He has the ability to make exponentially more money, yes, and it'll be a fair deal, and he's a very good football player, and we want him here.
Falcon Camp is in session, and 790 The Zone is your camp counselor. The best Falcons coverage all season long. 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. Make sure to check out scoreatl.com for the best high school sports coverage in town. And now's your chance to sign up for the Georgia High School Football Daily email newsletter, which comes out every weekday morning and is filled with the best high school sports news in town. This week, we will preview all 8 regions in Class 5A. Of course, we are also joined now by a very special guest. Man, I think is ESPN's best recruiting analyst, J.C. Sherbert. J.C., are you there? And how's your Sunday been going this far?
Hey, Scott. Good to be with you today. I hope we don't have any technical issues like we did last week.
I'm knocking on wood as we speak, J.C. We got you on a landline, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully
nothing will reset or cut off or anything like that.
There you go. So for anyone who doesn't know, ESPN released their top 150 last week. And, J.C., I wanted to get your your take on it, and find out where you think you guys were most successful, and maybe some of the areas you think the list could have been better.
Well, you look at it, I think the first thing people have to keep in mind is at ESPN, it's a different process. And having worked at Rivals before and been a part of that process, you know, the two are completely different. At Rivals, and I would think at Scout as well, you have just literally tons of different people giving feedback and you know, their opinions on it. And you have site publishers, you have other reporters, you have, you know, just management, and all kinds of people have a hand in talking and discussing the rankings and getting it done. And that's one way to do it. And then at ESPN, it's a little bit different in the sense that we have a team of 4 to 5 scouts, and those guys are the guys that are solely responsible for putting the list together, for evaluating and ranking the prospects, assigning the numerical grades, which translate into the star rating system, which we released for the first time last week. And you know, sometimes that comes out a little bit different because it's a different process. These guys all played or coached college football. That's a criteria for being involved with the rankings at ESPN. And we know that if we went around and polled 20 different coaching staffs in the country, there would probably be 20 different top 10 lists. So, you know, that's the difference. Is it's just a different type of system. And it's more, you know, the idea is that it's more towards, you know, what you would get if you went into a college football war room and saw their a specific school's board and, you know, who was up there and how they grade and things like that.
Yeah, now, J.C., we're in Atlanta, Georgia, where you either love or hate the Florida Gators. Of course, 36 of your top 30 players have committed to the University of Florida. Talk a little bit about that Florida bias. You think it has anything to do with maybe a ever-growing respect for Urban Meyer and his ability to scout? Or is this, you know, the true read on the players that have committed to Florida this far?
Yeah, and, you know, that's another difference between ESPN's rankings and somebody else. There's never, like, where a kid is committed to is never considered. It's never even brought up. It's never, hey, you know, I've never once heard Tom Luganville, Billy Tucker, Craig Hobart, Bill Conley say, oh, that kid's going to Miami or that kid's going to Florida. It's strictly based on in-person evaluation and film evaluation and grading. So it's just the way the cards were dealt this year. And you're going to have things like that because, you know, as I said, that's not taken into account. So nobody's really mindful of the fact that Florida ended up with, you know, 3 of the top 6 in the country. It's just not something that ever comes into play with our rankings. You know, it's just kind of how it played out. So you know, any kind of talk about any bias towards a certain team is just unfounded because these guys literally – when they get in there and grade, it never, ever comes up.
Now, I know you personally think Georgia actually has a better class than Florida to date. Talk a little about why you think that.
No doubt about it. I just, you know, for lack of a better, I like the overall class better at the University of Georgia right now than the Gators class. And that's, you know, like I said, it's not to say that Florida won't end up with the better class, but you look at what Georgia's got, you know, it's not so much the headliners that Georgia has. You know, it's the guys on down the list, like a Mark Dees or like a B.J. Butler. Deion Rogers is a heck of a prospect. Dexter Morant has a ton of upside. You know, Michael Bennett was a player that I personally saw at the Jacksonville Under Armour Combine that was extremely impressive. He's going to remind a lot of fans of former Florida receiver Chris Doering at the University of Georgia. So, you know, it's not even so much the top guys like Garrison Smith and T.J. Stripling and Alec Ogletree and those folks. It's more, you know, that second tier that I think makes Georgia overall a stronger class.
Hey, J.C., will you hold on 1 minute while we pause for a station identification?
No problem.
790 The Zone is the home of the Atlanta Hawks. WQXI Atlanta, a big league broadcasting company.
Yeah, we are talking to ESPN's top recruiting analyst, J.C. Sherbert.
J.C., Alex Ewald here. Just as far as these rankings go and what you do and Scout and Rivals do, you know, sometimes fans get pretty caught up in it. Put in perspective what exactly it means. You know, And a lot of teams, you know, they're filling needs. They're not looking at all the rankings, especially a team like Georgia Tech. First of all, with a small class, just for example, it's not going to show up on the rankings. But just sort of put in perspective what all these numbers and rankings and things like that mean.
Well, I kind of look at it like, the NFL draft and the NFL draft grades and the coverage of that. It's the same conceptually, the same type of thing, in that it's evaluating and reporting on how a certain school or franchise, if you're in the NFL, acquires talent. It's talent acquisition. And I think that when you look at it, you can't go and say Georgia had the number 10 recruiting class in 2004, so this year they should be number 10 in the country. That's just not, it's not sound to say that's a predictor of a future success as far as a team goes. What it is individually, each and every year, it's an evaluation of the talent you're bringing to your campus. So you can finish with the number 4 class in the country one year, and then if you don't do so well the other 3 out of the 4, 20% of your roster is going to be good and the rest is going to be average, and you're not going to do that well. So that's the way I think you should look at it, is just, take every year as it comes, and not look at it so much as something that says, there's this big recruiting class. This means we're on our way as a team.
Yeah, JC, in the last week or so, we've had a couple high school coaches in this state come out and criticize the number of scholarships offered to the high school football player. Of course, as you know, schools only take 20, 25 kids, sometimes 28, but they extend a lot more offers than they actually take. Coaches have been critical, saying, a lot of kids get left out, think they have offers, and they don't. Where do you sit on this topic?
Well, I think a lot of times it's because kids don't they take the process like a game and like they've arrived, and instead of getting it done, they let it lag, and they don't understand that, a scholarship offer is not necessarily something that's forever. They're not going to wait till signing day on everybody, and that's just how it is. And I think high school coaches, it's their job to educate their players as to the process better. I mean, I understand that it's tough to do to a kid to say, hey, you got a scholarship, and then all of a sudden you don't. And there certainly are ethical boundaries that colleges have to work within. At the same time, what I see more and more is kids who just, and high school coaches too, that just don't have a clue, that allow their prospects to go and, think that they have all day. I mean, here's an example. A young man that's, and I'm not going to say his name, but there's, two or three of them out there, top prospects in the country, that have recently narrowed their list to 15 schools. And here we are, it's August. You're about to start back to class. You're about to start back to football and play your senior season, and you've still got 15 schools out there on the hook. And there's no sense in it. There's no reason to still be considering 15 schools other than the fact that you want the love and attention and the things that really don't mean anything that go along with carrying a list of that size. It's not fair to the colleges. It's not fair to the prospects. It's not fair to the other prospects out there that are on other colleges' lists that you have no interest in going to. And it's just a complete ignorance of the whole situation, which is fueled by this sort of hype that we see on the Internet. And that's fine. I like the hype, and I like the fact that people get excited about recruiting. I mean, heck, that's what I do for a living. So, obviously I want that excitement there. But there comes a point where kids just have to, be advised to live within the realms of reality and to say, hey, look, this is a big decision. I need to get rid of 9 of these schools because I can't take more than 5 visits. And really nowadays, guys, if you take all 5 visits, that hurts you, especially if you're borderline academically, because you really need to be there in class, or if you're playing basketball or another sport or wrestling or whatever. High school kids nowadays don't have a lot of time to be dealing with this, and it hurts young people and student athletes. So I think the answer is just a better education on the process to some of our highly recruited prospects.
We're talking to ESPN recruiting analyst J.C. Sherbert here. J.C., looking at our state, Georgia, I see a lot of talent, especially in recent years, in the defensive secondary, at linebacker, the defensive line. But some of these other states are putting out a lot of quarterback prospects. That's not really one thing you look at Georgia and see that it's known for. What's your take on that? Is it the type of offenses that we're running in Georgia, or what? How do you look at that situation?
Well guys, first of all, the state of Georgia is an excellent talent-producing state. In our 150, it ended up that Georgia had just as many prospects as the state of California, which is the top talent-producing state.